Yavan Yashkar Nikataha, Titomam Tatato Yadva, Vishite Tad. Ananta, one can know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as I am, always through the process of devotion, and one who can understand me can enter into the kingdom of God. So in one sense, to understand Krishna should be quite simple. We simply have to love Krishna. The problem is we don't know very much about Krishna. We don't have very much experience in relating to Krishna. Therefore, it's hard to love someone that you don't know very much about. In order to learn about Krishna, we have to hear about Krishna. Hear about Krishna from the authorities. Otherwise, if we hear about Krishna from the wrong people, we'll get the wrong understanding. Krishna talks about his birth, Janma. So people can go to India and hear about Krishna from people who think they know about Krishna, and they'll describe Krishna as some criminal. He was born, his parents were criminals, they were in a prison. He was born to a criminal family, he's a criminal. He was also born in prison. His parents escaped, or his father escaped with him, and they went to they hid him away from the government because the government was trying to capture the criminals, and he was one of them. He grew up as a killer, killing so many things in the village of Vrindavan, part of his criminal background. Killing animals in the forest, killing his nerves, anything he got a hold of, practically he killed. Then his criminal tendency came out when he became a little older. He began to steal from everyone. First it was his mother, then it was the neighbors, and later he began to steal people's wives, the daughters of kings, and it was just a whole history of criminality. He had to hide out with all his band of criminals. First he had a little band of criminals in Vrindavan where they stole things and harassed the neighbors. And then later on he had a whole family of criminals and a hideout in the middle of the city. Finally, they all got intoxicated and killed each other, and that was the end. End of the band of criminals. But, due to the backward nature of India, they worship criminals like him. And later on, some people in the West with the same mentality, they took up such worship. But we can see that obviously they're not sane people, because they get up in the morning, they take their bed sheet and wrap it around them. They don't even know how to dress properly. When they were asked the question, they only have one reply: Krishna. They have a very limited vocabulary. So in this way, people can misunderstand Krishna very easily. To know Krishna in truth, one has to take to a process. So that process is not very popular nowadays. People in modern society, people are not trained that there's any higher purpose of life other than to chintyan aparayam cha palayam halapashitya kama pavoga parma etavam iti nischita. They believe to gratify the senses unto the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization. And therefore, there can be no measurement for their anxieties. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that masuchaha, give up your anxieties. The people don't want to give up their anxieties. They want more anxiety. If they're not in anxiety, they feel that something's wrong. They're not progressing. If they're not feeling intense lust, they feel their life has ended. If they're not feeling intense desire for something, to enjoy something, they figure life is not even worth living. And if they can't defeat their enemies, they become morose. And greed is more or less the standard of advancement. If someone is intensely greedy, they have only $20 billion and they feel deficient, they feel insecure, they don't have enough money. Then if they can make another $20 billion, then they're considered to be advanced, worthy of adoration. They interview them, how did you steal the other $20 billion? And what are your plans to steal another $20 billion? Well, whenever I saw an old lady on the street, I had a certain technique of giving her last 20 cents out. We did that consistently enough until it wound up that there were 20 billion old ladies without any luck. So this is glorified amounts of civilization as civilization. Therefore, when Gandhi was asked, what do you think of British civilization? His response was, I think it would be a good idea. Because it's not civilization, it's a society of dressed up animals. Well decorated animals in the name of civilization. Not that worse than that I'm in a position to criticize everyone, but the point is, real civilization means to become able to become immortal, eternal. And in order to qualify for that, for instance, Chandra Kampanit said, at least civilization is matri va paradvareshu, paradvareshu lo shriva, atmavat sarabhuteshu yakpashiti sapandidaha. At least, in the Vedic civilization, people were trained to look at every other lady except for one's wife, be just like one's mother. To give up the enjoying spirit that the whole world is simply meant for my enjoyment, and to try to invent different things in this world simply for my sense gratification. And paradvareshu lo shriva. And not be envious of other people that they have something that may be able to gratify their senses more than I have. As if the goal of life is to gratify senses, and therefore one who has more opportunity for sense gratification, I become envious of them and want to steal what they have. And not become envious of other living entities, that this living entity is in a better position for sense gratification than I am. Therefore, let me somehow or another take away their position or do something so I can become above them or keep them down. Not to be envious of other living entities, but to see everyone as a spiritual soul struggling in the material world with the ultimate goal of life is to get free from this material entanglement. So it is not sense gratification, a progress in sense gratification, which is actually progress, it's progress in getting free from sense gratification. So this is difficult in the Vedic, simply by following the Vedic culture, especially nowadays. We're reading every day in the Namrita, that tapasya, austerity, to go through this process of renunciation is practically impossible nowadays. People, if their car doesn't work and they have to take a bus, they're morose the whole day. I went through such, they tell their older friends, yes, I went through great austerity today, I took a bus. No, I don't believe it. No, it's true. I was humbled by the experience. Next week I'll buy a new car. I won't have to go through such a shocking experience seeing these other creatures from the neighborhood on the bus. So tapasya, to go through tapasya nowadays, people can't even walk. If they're afraid, if there's no oil, we'd have to put one foot in front of the other, and that's too hard. From my very birth, they put me in the car, in the cradle in the car, they put me in the stroller, and I never really learned to walk. And now I'm 70 years old, I don't know if I can learn now. It's too much of an austerity. But that civilization, to go through some process of austerity, get free from sense gratification, so that our minds can become a little bit peaceful. Because otherwise, as long as we're addicted to sense gratification, we're going to be in anxiety. And as long as we're in anxiety, we won't be able to hear about Krishna in such a way as to actually perceive him as he is. Or we won't be able to hear in such a way as to understand that there's no reason to be in anxiety. Yes, the body's going to die. Sorry, children. Too much. Maybe it's one of the morose classes. But the body dies, but we don't die. We're going to go on for eternity. The only question is, where are we going to be for eternity? That we have to make a choice in the human form of life. We can choose to be eternally in the spiritual world, but we don't know what the spiritual world is. So why would we choose it? If I told you about, you get a free ticket to the country called Visabal, what would you ask? Where is it? At least what the weather is like there. Don't worry about it. Just, you know, we blindfold you when you get on the plane so you don't see who else is on the plane with you. And when you land there, it was a free ticket. When you land there, you'll find out where you're going. Please accept the free ticket. No, who would ask, where am I going? What is going to be like there? How long am I going to be there for? If we told you, we're going to take you to this place for the rest of your life, but we're not going to tell you where it is. And once you go there, you never return. Many, many people went there and they never returned. Trust me, the person who's in charge there, he has everyone working for him 24 hours a day. And you won't even have to worry about him with your body. They don't take care of you. You won't even have them throw about to take care of. No, people will wonder, where am I going? What's going to be like there? Who's in charge there? So therefore, we have to learn about Krishna, but to actually know about Krishna, because Krishna is not part of the material world, he's part of the spiritual world. So if we want to know about Krishna, we also have to become spiritual. If we want to go to the sun god, to the sun planet, meet the sun god, we can't do it in our present body. You try it, you'll find out you'll get burned very quickly. They gave me a free ticket to go to the sun planet, but on the way I got burned. Literally got burned. And my whole life turned into ashes. My whole future became ashes. No, we want to visit the sun god to find out what the sun god is like. We have to become just like the sun god. If we want to find out about Krishna, we have to become like Krishna. Krishna's activities are not like our activity, because there's no anxiety. There's no fear. There's no lust. There's no anger. There's no material greed. There's no delusion. There's none of these things. So how can we understand Krishna if our experience is completely different? Therefore, Krishna says, Bhaktaram Dagatapasam Sarvalokamahishram Suridam Sarabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Rishite. If you want to become peaceful, free from these anxieties, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, and become joyful in one sense of the term, then you have to accept certain things. Either you go into the forest and you sit there and you try to give up and try to look at the tip of your nose and forget about everything else. So unless you have a very beautiful tip of the nose, It won't be a very interesting methodology of self-realization. On the other hand, Krishna gives us an alternative to accept that everything here belongs to Krishna. So that is not very easy to accept, but at least theoretically, to understand that everything here is Krishna's property. So for that, we have to understand that there is a God in the universe. He is controlling not only the planets and their orbits, he's in my heart, he's actually giving me intelligence. I have an intimate relationship with him at every moment, and when I remember that this is material existence, this material energy, including my own body and mind, even my words, everything that I have, it all belongs to Krishna, then at once I become free from all my anxiety about my body, my things, my so many different things. It all belongs to Krishna, then I have nothing to gain, I have nothing to lose. So a little anxiety is taken away. But then again, I also have to accept that not only everything is Krishna's property, but it's all meant for his enjoyment. If I'm making too many plans for my enjoyment and to avoid suffering in the material world, then the result is I'll be in anxiety because it's impossible to actually enjoy the material world and avoid suffering. The final date on our point on our agenda is our death day. And everyone has the same appointment. Maybe we can't read that on our agenda. We don't know exactly where to put it. But it's there somewhere. And on that day, there's no question of that will be a happy day. Therefore, we can't avoid the misery of having to leave this body. And as far as whatever happiness we can conceive of in this material world, it is all very limited. Even in our dream, if we dream of some happiness, how much really happiness is there in that dream? Even if we got everything we wanted, then we'd be in more anxiety about losing it. If you had a perfect life, anyone here had a perfect life, he got 100 on every test he ever took in school, he was the valedictorian in every class he ever had, every time he graduated, every girlfriend, whichever girlfriend he wanted, immediately surrendered, or boyfriend. He got the best job, telling everyone what to do, and they just threw money at him. He was just afraid of getting buried in all the money they threw at him. Everything went perfectly, and then suddenly the Yamadudu showed up. Wait a second, this is not supposed to be part of my life. It's supposed to be a perfect life. Sorry, you have an appointment. Yamaraj has a different agenda for you right now. No, it'd be very disappointed. Everything seemed to go perfectly except for that, and that was a big thing. Therefore, there'll be happiness and there'll be distress in this world, but we have to understand that ultimately, not only Krishna is the controller, but whatever I'm doing, the real result should go to Krishna. Of course, Krishna has a very simple desire. He wants that every living entity go back to the spiritual world. Although most living entities are quite unwilling to do so. But even if he can find one person in this material universe, or in some material universe, who wants to go back to Godhead, he becomes very happy. And if we are one such person, or one of many such persons, and we try to help others go back to Godhead, then Krishna becomes very happy. Forget about the philosophy, forget about our abilities, forget about everything else. If we simply concentrate on trying to help ourselves go back to the spiritual world and helping others in some way, that's perfection of life. We don't have to stanesita shudigatam tanavam manobira. There's no question of having to change our position because we have no position. Everyone has an equal position, different degrees of illusion. We're floating in a cloud of illusion, thinking, wow, I'm on cloud 9. But it's, yes, it's a cloud of illusion. And it's worth exactly zero. It's not worth not. So everyone has their illusion, but on the other hand, everyone has an equal opportunity to simply desire to utilize our present position to make progress in spiritual life and at the same time try to help others make progress in devotional service, understanding Krishna. And therefore, when they understand Krishna, make progress in performing activities for Krishna, to please Krishna. And then ultimately to understand that it is not that I am the best friend of everyone, or that I am helping everyone, but that actually is Krishna and his representatives are helping me, and by surrendering to them, they can help others. I can become an instrument to help others. But by myself, I can't help myself because I don't even know who I am. I'm trying to help a false conception of myself, which is really not helping my real self. But by the mercy of my spiritual master, by the mercy of the Pacific Succession, by the mercy of Krishna, then I can understand who I am, theoretically at least, and that by surrendering to their instructions, therefore I can help not only my real self, but I can help other people's real selves too. And Krishna, to understand that, Krishna's asking that for devotional service in or that we perform some extraordinary devotional service. He's saying, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhakta Priyashiki Taraham Bhakti Paritam Ashnami Priyatatmanaha. That is, you offer me with love and devotion a leaf, a fruit, a flower, some water, then I'll accept it. But it's the bhakti that Krishna wants. But in order to actually have real bhakti, we have to become free from our anxiety. Our anxiety about the future, our anxiety about the past, and focus on Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Along with that, we have to cultivate knowledge that there's nothing to worry about, Masuchaha. That we're eternal now, and whether we're fool number one, or the Brahma, or we become eligible to go back to the spiritual world, we're always going to be eternal. The question is whether we want knowledge and bliss along with that eternality. And if we accept devotional service, we hear about the process of devotional service and accept it, and then try to understand in truth who we actually are and who Krishna is, then the result is we might remember to do our devotional service in consciousness of Krishna. And not worry about what's going to happen to my body, what's going to happen to the universe, what's going to happen, because it's all going to be destroyed, no matter how much we worry about it. Our mothers may at home sit at home worrying about us all the time, but what good does it do us? And what good does it do us or the universe just to worry about it? It has its beginning, it has its middle, and it has its end. But we should worry about whether I'm going to have another material existence or whether or not I'm going to have a spiritual existence. So that should be our worry at every moment. Am I making progress in spiritual life? Am I doing this service to Krishna? Because everything here belongs to him, everything is meant for him, and only by trying to please Krishna, by doing what Krishna and his representatives have asked me to do, can I actually be beneficial for myself and others. We don't have to stop the wars that are going on around the world. We don't have to stop the wars that are going on amongst our friends. We have to stop the war going on within our mind that's causing us to forget who we actually are and what our relation with Krishna is. If we stop that war, then we may be able to stop the other wars, help them stop the other wars, by understanding that philosophy. Do something for Krishna. If you have nothing, if you're a poor person, just offer a leaf, but offer to Krishna with some love, some reverence, some respect. To understand that Krishna is not some ordinary person. He's Divyam. is a transcendental personality. He's an unlimited person, way beyond what our tiny little brains can even begin to understand. Even in the spiritual world, they're amazed. Srimati Radharani is thinking, today I might get the chance to see Krishna. But I hardly ever saw him, although she's seen him eternally. But she's thinking, today will be my opportunity to get an opportunity to see Krishna practically for the first time, that I don't know him very much. But this way I'll get to know him a little. So what does speak of ourselves? No, even Krishna is trying to understand himself in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The different aspects of himself. So we can't expect to understand very much about Krishna, but if we understand something about Krishna in truth, then it'll completely overwhelm us. And even if we can't understand that much about Krishna, but understand a little bit about Krishna, that will be encouraging, that now I'm actually on a path of becoming immortal. I'm on a path where I'm actually going to become aware of reality and become blissful. That reality is not, it's blissful. Actually, reality is encouraging. If we're not encouraged, Prabhupada said, then we must be, if we're morose, then that's a sign of lack of Krishna consciousness. We must become prasanatma. So we hear about Krishna, and we learn the simple process of devotional service, and we please Krishna even to a little bit by following it, then we'll see how wonderful Krishna is, even to a little bit, and that's overwhelming. Or as Prahlad Maharaj said, if the happiness of Brahman is not some little happiness, if you multiply our happiness on this planet, you multiply it thousands of times, it might be a little bit close to happiness in Indra Loka. And you keep on multiplying that through the different lokas, from Indra Loka to Maha Loka to Siddha Loka to Jana Loka to Tapa Loka. And you multiply that thousands of times, finally you get to Brahma Loka, you multiply that thousands of times, and finally you get to Siddha Loka, the Brahmana fullness. That's thousands, billions of times more happiness than we're achieving. Because there's no anxiety. And if there's no anxiety, there's only happiness. There's only pleasure. But if you multiply the happiness of Brahman billions and trillions of times, it wouldn't equal to an atomic fraction of one drop of the ocean of devotional service. So think about that for a while. But because we're conditioned, we're thinking, oh, Krishna consciousness is just like that. That's what it's like. Oh, no, it's bigger than that. It means like that. No, it's an ocean. No, oh, I see. It's that big. So we can't really understand, but there's a process by which we can gradually understand. So we're very fortunate. We may not even understand our fortune, how fortunate we actually are. But if we follow the process of patram, pushpam, balam, toyam, and give up this hankering that, yes, I'm going to offer Krishna a fruit, a leaf, a flower, some water, and in exchange, he's going to give me a basket of fruits and 20 gallons of purified water. To give up that mentality that I need something from Krishna other than his appreciation and love. If we give up that mentality, then that's what Krishna will give us. And if we want something else, we think, oh, Krishna, I'm approaching you. I'm a poor man. Please make me rich. Then Krishna will do that. Krishna is very kind. Yeyatamam prapajante tamsitaiva bhajamya. And that way we'll learn about Krishna. Krishna is it's a good business, dealing with Krishna. It's a good investment. I put a dollar and a quarter in the box and I fold my hands and say, Krishna, you're in everyone's heart. You know exactly what to do. I don't have to remind you. We've had this relationship since time immemorial and I know you're steady, so you can't fail. No, to realize that, all right, this is one way of approaching Krishna, but let me approach Krishna. Krishna, simply let me please you and let me experience your happiness. Let me understand that you're actually, you know, appreciating what I'm doing. If we have to approach Krishna that way, try to love Krishna and try to experience Krishna's love for us, then we can understand something about Krishna in truth. The spiritual world, there's no business, not Narad, is not herding cows because he has, you know, the cow business, milk business. There's no businesses there. It's hard to, there's no one doing business. They don't sell cows, they don't buy cows. They don't sell butter or yogurt either. You can't go there in the spiritual world and say, how much is the price of yogurt? Well, it went up today because the gopis, they all had to do with Krishna. Yogurt is a little scarce nowadays, so price doubled. It's 5 chintamani stones. How many of you have? No, there's no business going on there. There's only love. So here there's only business going on. There's no real love. So we have to go on to a different platform of consciousness. We can't change our material circumstances, but we can change our consciousness to that of bhakti. To give up our anxiety, to try and understand things properly, to try to apply them within our daily lives. And then Krishna is everywhere. He's ready to reciprocate with us at any moment. And the result is that Tadami Buddhi Yogam Nam, he's in our heart. He'll explain to us things to us in such a way as to help us attain eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. So that's pretty good, just by offering a leaf of fruit or a little flower. Can't get a better deal than that. Especially in Kali Yuga. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?